CSN International presents To Every Man an Answer, the live apologetics program that equips you to give a reason for the hope that lies within you.
If you have a Bible question or a question on the Christian faith, you can call us at 1-888-827-5276. Again, that's 1-888-ASK-CSN.
Let's get things started. Here's today's host, Mike Kessler.
Today, joining me today, special guest Daryl Skinner from Calvary Chapel, Pearl Harbor, Honolulu, Hawaii. Aloha.
Aloha, Mike. And aloha to all the listeners out there. Great to be with you once again on this Thursday. Looking forward, of course, to the great questions that always come in. And it's exciting to see that people want to grow in their faith and their love of God and their love for one another. So just looking forward to another great day. There's a lot going on in our world today with the Russian thing with Trump and then the Ukraine thing with Zelensky. And then you've got the Israel war still going on, and these are all signs of the times as we look to these last days and so forth. And we've seen the Trump State Department or the Department people staff is being confirmed, which is nice to see. So we get this country moving in the right direction, hopefully. Mike,
amen.
Good to be with you.
And so we're in exciting times. And
yes.
I'd like to do a prophecy update if you're on the Big Island, Kona Coast Fellowship in Kona, Hawaii, right behind the Kona Inn Shopping Center on the beach. I'll be speaking this Sunday at 10 o'clock. And so I'd love to have you come and we'll get together, have some good fellowship again. That's at the Kona Coast Fellowship, located behind the Kona Inn, and there's a restaurant there as well, right behind the shopping center there on the beach. There'll be a sign out on Aaliyah Drive where you can see where to go. But go through there and find a chair. We're going to have a good time as we meet there on the beach. That's this Sunday. Again, Kona Coast Fellowship behind Kona Inn Shopping Center. So I look forward to seeing all of you there if you're able to make it again at 10 o'clock. 8888, ask CSN is the number to call if you want to be part of the program today. Got some lines open. We're going to go to Christian in Idaho. Hi, welcome.
Hi.
Hello.
I was just wondering about surrogacy. I called a while ago, and I just wanted more of an in-depth answer, I guess.
Okay. Your thoughts on that, Daryl?
What was the question again? I'm sorry.
On surrogacy.
About...
Hello?
Yeah, it's about surrogacy. So just carrying a baby for another married couple, like a husband and wife.
Your thoughts?
It's interesting. I think that's something you've got to really go to prayer, because so many times a person gets very attached to that baby that's inside of them. And if the couple, obviously they can't have a baby and this is a form of adoption, that would be... I'm assuming you're talking about in vitro and so forth. So, but that's something the couple has to decide and the individual has to decide as what type of attachments there might be. Cause so many times the mother that's carrying the baby can become very attached to that little baby, which is a natural thing as God's created. So, but I think you've got to decide for yourselves, you can handle it, and it's something that or the other option, of course, is just direct adoption. So that would be it. Mike, I'll hand it over to you.
Well, and I think also as an example, if a woman wants to do that for a married couple and she's married to somebody else, I think that's a very, very important part that his input is extremely important on that. If he's against it, then by all means, I would not do that. Because you have to honor your husband, as the Bible says to do. Now, is there something more to the question, dear, that we need to know, or is that answer it for you?
I was kind of just wondering if it was okay through God, like what he says in the Bible. I couldn't find any passages anywhere to kind of talk about it. And that's basically my question, is if it was okay through the Christian religion.
Well, I don't know that anything in the Bible would prohibit it, other than perhaps, as an example, a woman that wants to do this, her spouse is against it, Of course, that would not be good. But again, I think, Daryl, what you mentioned is so important because you get attached to those babies and all the things that gone through to have it. Daryl, any last thoughts on that?
There's the story of Abraham and Hagar, I think, is probably one aspect that didn't work out too well. I think it's something that really you have to really pray over and make sure that it's the Lord's will and whatever situation it might be and go from there. But it's a tough one only because of the attachment that takes place when a baby's within the womb of that woman and then to give birth and then to give the baby up. It would not be an easy thing, but at the same time, if they're able to handle something like that and so forth, because the other couple was just impossible of having a baby, we get that. Certain things do happen to people. They can't have a baby. Now, again, there's always adoption, but, it's just a different form of, if you will, of adoption. Mike?
I hope that helps. That's about all we can say on it. I hope that helps, Christian.
It does. Thank you.
God bless you. If you like, stay on the line, send you out some books and DVDs. And with that, we'll go to Paul in Massachusetts. Hi, and welcome.
How you doing, pastors?
Good. How may we help?
I have a question for you in regards to 1 Timothy 3, overseers and deacons, and I'm using the NIV translation.
Yes.
The second verse, now overseers must be above reproach, the husband of but one wife. And then it goes on from there. We've been having some debates and disconnects at the church that I attend in regards to the interpretation of the husband of but one wife. Meaning there's been some interpretations as well, an overseer or this also applies to deacons, that they the husband has to be or the man has to be married. There's been other interpretations as to, well, if they were divorced once and never remarried, they would be eligible as a deacon or an overseer. I would like to get your twist on your interpretation of that one section of verse 2.
Well, I believe it's not speaking of divorce and remarriage there concerning a qualification. I believe it's talking about polygamy, which is actually carried over from the Old Testament, the priests in service to God in the Old Testament in the temple. Again, you get multiple wives, you're so busy at home, you can't take care of the things of God. Now, we know that Paul says, I wish you all were like me, speaking of being single. That way you can devote yourself more wholly to the things of God. So whenever we find something like this in the Bible, we have to realize that unless there's an exception mentioned somewhere else, that is what it is. So to say, well, you have to be married in order to hold this position based on the husband of one wife. Well, what does the rest of the Bible say about that? And of course, we have ample illustrations, Old Testament and New, where many of the prophets of God were single. So I know that it can't be speaking of that. We do know polygamy was widespread in those days. In fact, which of the Old Testament patriarchs didn't have more than one wife? You know, we often talk about the 12 tribes of Israel and 12 sons of Jacob, you know. Well, that was from four different women all at the same time. So, I mean, when we really get into this, a lot of people want to kind of dismiss the context, because we have this idea that everything worked the way it was always intended to work, and we find that it doesn't. So I don't believe that a person that is divorced and remarried is disqualified. Otherwise, then we really need to stop preaching the gospel, because we don't know who we might be preaching the gospel to may end up in a divorce. Who knows? And there they would be disqualified for the rest of their life. So get all your sinning done, get all your divorcing done before you come to Christ, because after you're saved, you can't be forgiven for those kinds of things. Very dangerous. Dangerous theology, because we're saying a child of the devil has more rights than a child of God does. a child that is that's not born again can have their sins forgiven, but a child of God cannot. And so we find these are some real horrible things that we have to look at in the context and the light of the rest of Scripture. Your thoughts?
Yeah, it's interesting that let's say a man is in the ministry, he's serving as a pastor, and let's just say his wife decides, I don't want anything to do with Jesus any longer. I want nothing to do with him. I want nothing to do with the Bible, nothing to do with the church. And so she divorces him, and should we just then disqualify him and say, you can no longer be a pastor? I don't think so. That individual has gone away from the Lord, the wife did, and he should continue on in ministry. There's some things you just can't control, and that's one of them. Now, if he's abusive to his wife and doing all kinds of crazy things like that, then that would be a whole other story, and he should be out of ministry. But in looking at the scriptures, being the husband of one wife, yes, be a husband of one wife. Some have taught that, you know, well, you were divorced before you were saved, and you still can't become a pastor and so forth. No, all things are new. The Bible says you're a new creation. Christ says you're saved. Now you're growing the Lord. If God calls you into the ministry, you'll be in the ministry. So that which Mike has spoken is true, as well as what I just shared with you there. So I think it's important that we realize the grace of God, the mercies of God, the goodness of God, now it operates in and through our lives, and that the calling has to be fulfilled. And I think as men of God are accountable to other men of God, the right decisions are always made, and then they can move on in ministry. So, Mike, I'll give it back to you with that.
Yeah, I think there's you know, we got to look at all the scriptures when we come to this. And In those days, divorce was looked down, very frowned upon, because when a woman was to be divorced, she was just about destitute. Their society wasn't geared to assimilating women into the workforce. And so you didn't divorce a wife. Now, you could marry as many as financially you could support. And that, again, is substantiated all the way through the Old Testament. But when it comes to the things of God, then there's a different requirement. And I believe that, again, husband of one wife, again, carried over from the Old Testament priests. Hope that helps.
Yes, and you confirm most of what I thought to begin with as far as the polygamy went. I understand that, and it is helpful because you did touch on base with the fact that a pastor could be divorced and, you know, still serve in the ministry. And we've recently called back a pastor 30 years ago who has been divorced in between. But yet when some of the nominees that were up for deacon role, elder roles, they, in other words, were like double standards. The pastor, it was okay to bring in a pastor that was divorced, but as far as nominating an elder that was divorced, they frowned upon it. So that's why I wanted to get clarification. And, you know, I've been digging into that because it just seems like double standards to me. And, you know, I don't think it was biblical.
Well, the minute that a non-saved person has more rights to have their sins forgiven than a believer, you know there's something horribly wrong with that teaching. Because we're children of God. I mean, he's our Father. Yeah, we sin. We all do. But to say, well, you better get your sinning done, you better get your divorcing done before you come to Christ, because after you're born again, man, you can't get divorced. You can't do it. You know, I mean, dangerous, dangerous stuff. And again, you know, I applaud people that have chosen wisely in their life and picked good mates and other things. Others have not done so well. And it's always easy for somebody that has got a submissive wife or a very directive, God-loving man in their life, and then to turn around and criticize those that didn't pick well. Even as Christians, I've seen this many, many times in my life. So we've got to be very, very careful in being judgmental in that we're saying, well, you should have got all that done before you became a Christian because, sorry, it's too late now. Well, I don't know what kind of gospel that is, but it isn't the gospel of the Bible. Hope that helps.
I want to leave just this one last thought because I don't want to cut other people off, but you know, the very first requirement in that verse is that you must be above reproach. And we know nobody is above reproach in the face of this earth. And that was one of his first requirements. And then it goes on to the other requirements. But I found, and correct me if I'm wrong, I found some of the requirements here weren't so much that you would find an individual that would ideally fit those qualifications. But I think this, in my opinion, was Paul's instructions for a man to aspire to those needs, like being above reproach or being the husband of one wife. These were, I just feel, and tell me if I'm wrong, that these were requirements were set for a man to turn around and aspire to meet these qualifications.
Well, I think it's both. I believe it's both. You want to maintain your relationship. People are going to say bad things all the time. I mean, if you're going to be a person above reproach, look at who, look what they were saying about Jesus. He's a friend of sinners. He's a wine bibber. He's this, he's that. You got to be real careful on that because, again, people do get it wrong a lot of times. The problem is we want to make sure people are always going to talk. You just want to make sure it ain't true. And I think that that's an important part. Now on this, Daryl, any last thoughts?
Well, we talk about being above reproach. You're not going to put a man into leadership, pastorship, or deacon, be a deacon in the church if they're a drunkard or they're a drug addict or they're living immorally, all those things. So a liar, cheat, a thief, whatever.
And I think that's what it's talking about, too.
Yeah, you've got to be above reproach. Your life has changed and is continuing to change to be sanctified by the Holy Spirit through the Word of God, and you bear fruit of the Holy Spirit, and so on and so forth. So those things are going to be evidence thereof that you're above reproach, you're blameless, and you're moving forward. It's the calling to the office that is to be fulfilled, which is the office of a pastor. Some people look at it as a title. I see it as an office that we fulfill to be a shepherd, to tend to the sheep, to feed the sheep, to protect the sheep, and so forth. And then also the deacon is one who serves and serving the body of Christ in a loving and caring way, being a servant. And that's what we find. And you don't want someone in there that would be abusive and authoritarian, and so on and so forth. So, it's important that we realize this being above reproach is to be an example of Christ to the body of Christ. Mike?
Hope that helps, Paul.
It does. And I want to commend you for your ministry. I pray that it will continue on until the second coming.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
And, Paul, good to talk to you. What station are you listening on there in Massachusetts?
It's 90.5. I'm in Sandwich, Massachusetts, which is Cape Cod.
Okay. I think that station's in Scituate. I'm glad you're listening there in Cape Cod. And again, God bless you. Stay online. If you like, send you out some books and DVDs. May help you and your board there in their selection. Stay online. We'll get you taken care of. Let's go to Terry, Bend, Oregon. Hi, and welcome.
Hey, pastors. I got a question and a prayer request. But my question is on, it's like these major televangelist networks or whatever. And, I'm not going to put their name out there. But what I want to do is find out why they would continue to carry certain so-called ministers who water down the gospel, who go to the woke movement, who actually mislead people on the true gospel of salvation for people, and they keep them on their network. Is that because they are so inclined to have more money too, or do they just not care about people's souls? I'm not sure.
It's hard to say what lights the fire. I don't know whether maybe it's people offering the money. We've had people come that have a very woke gospel or a very watered down gospel, just slip Jesus in your pocket, climb to the top. Never any mention about repentance or anything like that. And, we'll give you a lot of money if we can put our program on the network. The answer is no. We're not for sale. We don't do that. Number two, They may be in ignorance. They don't even know what the Bible says. And many of these people probably, and some of these different religious organizations may not even be born again. They're just there. It's their job. They're just, you know, making sure the bottom line shows they're in a profit every month. I don't know. I don't know whether it's out of ignorance. I don't know whether it's out of greed. I don't know whether it's just out of pure negligence. But we do see it. And it is very, very bad. And this is one of the things that we at CSN are very much committed on, not allowing that kind of stuff on. We've had programs where somebody will say, hey, we want it. They'll send us some pilot programs. We'll listen. They sound very good. And after about the third program, they go off the rails and we pull them off the air, because we don't care about anything but really God's word. I mean, that's the foremost thing. And I believe, again, and that's why I want to say thank you to all of you that pray and support CSN, because without you, we can't do what we do. And we're just not for sale. Your thoughts, Daryl?
Yeah, you know, I think some networks, if you will put on whoever's popular. It doesn't matter what they teach, as long as they're bringing in the money, unfortunately. And there's many teachers out there with the gospel of greed, you know, blabbing and grabbing and everything else. It reminds me of the passage in 2 Peter chapter 2 where it says, by covetousness they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. By covetousness, in other words, they're using the materialism to lure you in. It's all about money. You give the... give to our ministry $10, God will have to give you $100. God, you give $100, God will give you $1,000. You give $1,000, God will give you $10,000. It's manipulation. It's deceptive. It's wrong. It's covetousness about the things of this world. Jesus is seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, not about materialism, but his righteousness. Then he says, all things will be added unto you. What are the all things that are added unto us? Is it money? Is that really important to God? No. Is the character of Christ. As you seek his righteousness, you'll have the character of Christ, the fruit of the Spirit, the love, the joy, the peace, the goodness, the gentleness, the self-control, and so forth. And you'll become a great tool in the hand of God in reaching souls for Christ and making disciples. That's what's important to the Lord Jesus, to make us into his image, not the image of this world or the image of the dollar bill or anything else. So it's a powerful passage there. In 2 Peter, as he talks about false prophets and false teachers, Mike?
Yeah, you know, the miracle wallets, and you know, just $29.95, you know, you'll get a wallet and it'll always have money in it. Oh, you know, and you wonder why they don't use their own wallet sometimes. So, you know, it's always amazing. And but wait, if you call right now, you'll get two. That's right, two miracle wallets for the price of one. Wow. You know, scam.
And, you know, Mike, it's interesting. They call themselves faith teachers, but they really don't have faith. They're manipulative teachers. Yeah. Jesus says, if you want something, then go to your prayer closet and pray, and the Father will reward you openly. And they're just manipulators and con men and they're scammers, and they just keep begging away at the body of Christ. We're going to go off the air if you don't give to our ministry. Good. Go off the air. Get out of here. You know, if God doesn't provide, then God's not guiding, man. Be done with it. But it's unfortunate these networks will continue on with these people, because they're great at manipulating. They're great at conning, and the money comes in, and then they pay the big bills to the network for being on the air on their television network. So it's a vicious cycle. It's an ugly cycle. It's not the right cycle. Mike?
Terry, I hope that helps.
And I could get a prayer request from you real
sure.
quick.
Sure.
For my mom, I live with her. She's 88 now. And she's had some health problems and stuff. And long story short, she's the only family I got left. And she's having problems with her stomach. Well, she's seen the doctor and stuff. And, you know, some days are a little better than other days. But just prayer that maybe God would touch her stomach, heal that stomach, you know, to help her feel better and, you know, be stronger. And she's been a Christian since she was 19 years old, and she's 88 years old and, you know, couldn't ask for a better mom.
Well, Father, we just lift her up to you. We just ask you that you would just give Terry wisdom to help her, provide for her, and to comfort her, Lord. One of these days you're going to take us all home. We won't be lonely anymore. And so, Lord, we just ask you to touch her body, Extend your hand of healing to her and all those right now that need a healing touch from you in Jesus' name. We just ask this because you're the God who heals. And so we just ask you, please, Lord, touch, heal, and restore in Jesus' name. Amen. Terry, stay online, send you out some books, some DVDs. Perhaps you and your mom really enjoy them. Share them with your friends. Let's go to Patty, Oregon. Hi and welcome.
Hello.
Hi, Patty.
My question is, I'm in Matthew 24, and it's talking about the second coming. And, of course, we don't know the day or the hour, but it says that it will be like in the days of Noah, where mm-hmm. they were marrying and partying and all of that. But the question is this later going to refer to the rapture or the second coming? Myself, I believe it's the second coming. But before the second coming, are people actually going to be marrying and giving in marriage? And because they're going through such tribulation.
Patty, I think you answered your own question there, dear, because I really believe that that is speaking of the rapture. People living carelessly, as they did in the days of Noah. At the end of the tribulation, Revelation 16 on the bold judgments and all those things that are happening, mere survival is all people are going to be able to do. And every living thing in the sea that died, fresh drinking water, short supply, it isn't eat, drink, and be merry. No, it's mere survival. And so I believe this is why, just as in the days of Noah, Jesus will come and the world face an impending judgment, the flood, and they're going to face the tribulation judgment as well. Coming up on a break, we'll be right back for more. Don't go away.
In 2007, when Dan Steiner, president of Preborn, cried out to God, "What can I do for you?" the answer came loud and clear.
I sensed God's broken heart over the issue of abortion. You see, he sees every little baby that's being formed in the mother's womb, and it breaks his heart to see when the lifetime that he has planned for them is taken from them violently so often. But if we can get a mom into one of our clinics and show her her baby, and she has that close encounter of the best kind in her womb, she will choose life.
Ultrasounds save lives. To learn more about Preborn's life-saving work, call #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby. Or visit preborn.com/CSN. That's preborn.com/CSN. All gifts are tax deductible.
If you're 65 or older, you know this. Seeing your healthcare costs go up and up is frustrating. And maybe you were just notified that your Medicare costs are increasing again, or you're just tired of the massive deductibles. Well, here's some good news. There's a program that can really help with this. It's MediShare 65 Plus. It's an affordable, reliable alternative. You can choose any Medicare provider. You get telehealth access anytime you need it. And MediShare 65 Plus is a low-cost option for those with Medicare Parts A and B, and it fills in the gaps where Medicare stops. MediShare is a Christian healthcare community that aligns with your faith. People actually pray for you. They encourage you. And it's proven, too. It's been going strong for over 30 years now. So call now. You can get one low monthly price for up to 10 years. You're not stuck with increasing costs. You can do something about this today. Call MediShare 65 Plus. Find out how much you can save. Call 833-90-SHARE. That's 833-90-SHARE. 833-90-SHARE.
Part two of Every Man Answer here on this Thursday afternoon with Daryl Skinner. I'm your host, Mike Kessler. Once again, if you're in the Kona area on the Big Island, or for that matter, anywhere on the Big Island, you're invited to church this Sunday at the Kona Coast Fellowship there in behind Kona Inn Shopping Center on the beach. That's right. We're having beach church. That's right. On the lawn there as we watch the waves crash on the shore. It's great. We want to just invite you to come. Starts at 10 o'clock. Just follow, go down Aliyah Drive. You'll see the sign out there that says Kona Coast Fellowship. You walk through a little hallway there between the stores and then out onto the lawn right where the ocean is and the beach is and the sand and the Lon, you'll have a great time. We're going to be talking about End Times Update. Where are we at prophetically in Scripture? That's this Sunday, Kona Coastal Ship, 10 o'clock. And love to see you there right off Aaliyah Drive in downtown Kona. And so we would love to see you there. And again, with Daryl there at Pearl Harbor Calvary Chapel. Daryl, what's going on this Sunday at church?
We're going to be starting a brand new series. I call it the Love Series, Loving God and then Loving One Another. It'll be about 6 weeks long. And then we'll be starting another book of the Bible, probably 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, as we continue to study through the entire New Testament as well as the Old. So, and then we just started a brand new series on Wednesday nights. It's entitled the Church Power Series, talking about how God empowers us as believers and then as corporately as a church. So I got two different series going on at this time. I'm kind of in and out a little bit with traveling to the mainland back and forth. And then I'm going to be settling down, and then we'll get back into the books of the Bible, teaching, expositorially teaching. So anyway, looking forward to it. But looking forward to starting this new series on love. It's going to be great.
It will be, and so looking forward to that. Well, when we went to the break, we had Patty on the line and asking about, as in the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. They were eating, drinking, marrying, and given in marriage. Is this the second coming or the rapture? Well, when we look at contextually what it's talking about, there has to be the rapture. Mere survival is all people will find at the time of the second coming of Christ. In fact, continuing on, there in Matthew chapter 24, Jesus said, unless those days were shortened, there would be no flesh saved. In other words, man would have completely annihilated himself. The tribulation period really should have went on much longer, but in just 7 years, man has taken our world's population down to just a few billion, and not like the 8 billion that are on earth right now. Your thoughts, Daryl?
Yeah, you know, when we look at the passages, you know, Jesus did say, no man knows the day or the hour. That for the second return, not the rapture, but the second return of Christ, they'll know to the very day, because it's exactly, or told in the book of Revelation, 1260 days from the abomination that makes desolate, where the Antichrist goes into the temple, he blasphemes God, sets up an idol unto himself, and then it's exactly 1260 days to the second coming of Jesus Christ. But here in this passage in Matthew 24, he says, no one knows the day or the hour. In fact, down in verse 42, he says, watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. And he teaches the doctrine of the imminent return as he gives the parable of the thief that breaks into the house and so forth, that illustration. And he gives this illustration because you just don't know when these things are going to happen. And that's called the doctrine of the imminent return. Just, it could happen today. The rapture could happen today. The days of Noah, we see the days of Noah all around us. It's totally immoral, perverse. It's vicious. There's crime all over the world. There's drug cartels. All these things are taking place. The days of Noah, or also the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, Jesus relates to the last days. And then will come the rapture, then the 7 years of tribulation, then the midpoint of the abomination and desolation, and 1260 days later will be exactly the second return of Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus gives the reference to two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken, the other left, and then men will be in the field, one will be taken, the other left. The word taken is paralambano in the Greek. It means to be taken and embraced. We're going to be, as the bride of Christ, we're going to be taken and be embraced. And left just means, basically in the Greek language, is left behind. You're left here on earth. And so this whole teaching here in Matthew 24, in this section, is dealing with the rapture of the church, not the second coming of Christ. Mike?
Yeah, you know, people, I've actually heard him say, well, that taken away means taken away by the world. Really? Think about it for a minute. Two women will be grinding at a mill. One will be taken and the other left. So a woman is sitting there grinding at the mill, and all of a sudden, hey, I want to be taken away by the world. Really? But when we understand that in a moment, twinkling of an eye, we're going to be changed. We're out of here. Then all of a sudden, I realize it isn't being taken away by the world, as some would like to discount the rapture, but it's talking about those that will be taken by the Lord Jesus as he calls his bride home. You don't just get taken away by the world while you're grinding at a mill. or two in bed. One will be taken and the other left. Oh, there he is laying in bed, and all of a sudden he's just taken away by the world. No, logically, that makes no sense. So anyhow, I hope that helps.
Hello, Patty?
Patty, does that help? Patty, we can't hear you, but if you're there, stay on the line, and I'll send you out a couple of books, a couple of DVDs, okay? All right. I hear something in the background. It sounded like you said okay. So, Patty, blessings to you. If you need us, call us. We're here for you. And again, Jesus did say that you would know the season. We don't know the hour of the day, but we'd know the season. You know, the Bible talks about problems globally, problems with no way out. Boy, if there was never a time in history where that applies, I think it applies now. God bless you, dear. And let's go to David, Oklahoma City. Hi, welcome.
Thanks for taking my call.
How may we help?
I'm going to a church now for 2 years, and to become a member, you have to sign the bylaws. And one of those is that they don't believe that the gifts are for today. Does that fall into the cessationist category? And is that grieving the Holy Spirit?
I believe it is, and I certainly wouldn't sign that. I think God is alive and well on the planet Earth. And something else we need to remember, and this is what I wish so many churches would understand, the gifts of the Spirit did not start in Acts chapter 2. They're all the way through the Bible, all the way through the Old Testament. Whether you watch Moses parting the Red Sea, manna from heaven, whether you look at the miracles that Elisha and Elijah did, all the way through the Bible, you see these miracles following those that believe. And since they didn't begin in Acts chapter 2, why would anybody think they end in the last chapter of the book of Acts? Or when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part will be done away with, as they say, speaking of the Bible when it was canonized. So here's the idea. Today you can be healed of all kinds of diseases and things, and then they vote on making the Bible 66 books we call the scriptures. Now you can't be healed anymore. You know, it doesn't logically even make any sense. Jesus Christ, Hebrews 13:8, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Friends, God is still in the miracle working business. And I think when you say the Holy Spirit, what's the old song Don McLean sang years ago? The Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, the three men I admire most, caught the last train for the coast. Nope, that didn't happen. Jesus is still in the miracle working business. And I believe every one of us listening out here knows someone who has either had a divine healing, a divine miracle in their life, divine things that happen, unbelievable, witnessed them. No, God is still in the miracle-working business. And Daryl, you're one of those miracles as well.
Yes. You know, it's so silly. Here the Lord pours out his Holy Spirit, and then you have the gifts of the Holy Spirit listed in the ministerial gifts in Ephesians 4 and service gifts in Romans 12. And spiritual gifts in 1 Corinthians 12. Now listen to what it says in 1 Corinthians 12:1, and tell me if Paul thought the gifts were over with and done away with. He says this, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant." And then he goes on to explain the spiritual gifts. He says, guys, don't be ignorant. Don't think they've vanished away. Don't be silly in how you use them. Let me explain to you how these gifts work. And then he goes on and lists 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit, from the word of wisdom to the word of knowledge to another faith, to gifts of healings, to working of miracles, to prophecy, discerning of spirits, different kinds of tongues, interpretation of tongues. Then in verse 11 it says, "But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills." He doesn't say he will discontinue these gifts and they can't be operable within the body of Christ. No, the Holy Spirit distributes these gifts as he wills into the body of Christ. And why would God start performing miracles and all these gifts are for us in the time of the apostles and then say, okay, we're done because the book of Acts just ended, so now we're done. No, they're available for all believers today. The Holy Spirit is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and they operate within us for God's glory. It's always for God's glory and the testimony of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Mike?
Amen. And again, the gifts of the Spirit are for all of those, the Bible tells us, and those afar off. There was no time expiration date on that. So I hope that helps.
Yes. Well, I've been going to church there for 2 years. You can't become a member. I've been asked to, you know, be a deacon or be on the board, but I don't want to sign that. Would that be, and other than that, the teaching is good there. So I'm kind of in a quagmire whether to, you know.
Well, I'd have a problem with the teaching there if they believe that. Because, you know, I mean, it isn't just, well, there's this one faux pas that they do, because that faux pas is going to affect the way you teach the Bible. If you believe the Holy Spirit ceased with the apostles, the gifts of the Spirit, you're going to have all kinds of problems. Now, I've had people ask this question. Well, why was God a God of miracles in the Old Testament and the New Testament and not today? Well, God's still in the miracle working business. And if you listen to missionaries, if you listen to people who really live on the edge, as the early church did, where it was illegal to be a follower of Christ, you had fed to the lions, all these different things, miracle working power of God was everywhere. Most people today in their Christian faith don't live close enough to the edge to even need a miracle. I can do it. Well, listen, that's where the miracles come in, is where I get out there and I realize, God, I can't do this. And God says, watch the miracles come. And that's the way God works. What is one thing that we are doing in our lives, and this for me too, that I'm doing where I need God's miracle in my life? Well, you know, I'm coloring inside the lines, and, you know, I'm not offending anybody, and, you know, I smile and love everyone, and, you know, I never share the gospel, of course, because that might offend somebody, but, you know, I just want to be loved by everyone. Well, no, you probably won't see miracles. But, you know, you get down where those people are, and all of a sudden, as you're beginning to minister to somebody, that person starts screaming and shrieking, and the demon that's inside of them begins to manifest. Hey, let me tell you, God's miracle-working power is there to deliver that individual from those demons. You see, we don't live close enough to the edge to need miracles today. And that's because we lack faith. But you know, when you hear God's word, it gives you faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The more you hear God's word, the more you see how God was faithful to Paul and Peter and Elijah and all those people in the Bible. I go, wow, there's nothing that we can't do as we're directed by God, by his Spirit. But when I begin to do those things, all these things begin to happen. And I go, well, God, where are you? He's still there, and you're a candidate for a miracle. Any last thoughts?
Yeah, you know, when I look at the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus explains to us about the power of the Holy Spirit. He says, but you shall receive power. That word power is dunamis, which we get our English word dynamite. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. So the question is, as we have the power of the Holy Spirit working in us, whether it be through various gifts or just preaching the gospel, what is the purpose of it? He says it's to be a witness that Jesus is real. Jesus went to the cross for our sins. Jesus rose from the dead. We're now filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. So if God's going to do whatever miracle it might be, a gift of healings or something like that, or grant you that word of wisdom or knowledge, it is to be a witness of Christ and his power and his love for the benefit of others. And so many times people, you know, they're why am I not being healed by God? Well, God knows best. You know, how can you witness for the Lord at this time? Paul the Apostle prayed three times that the thorn that Satan was buffeting him with would leave him, and God says no. So there's a yes and there's a no within God's economy of his operation of the gifts, and we have to accept it. Not my will, but thy will be done. And Paul, God spoke to Paul and says, hey, when you are weak, I'm strong in you. So just realize that to live is Christ, to die is truly gain. And so we have to realize that the miracles and the gifts and all that goes on is always a testimony of God and his love and Christ and his ways, so that we know him deeper and richer each and every day, and that others may know him. So this is the word dunamis. We get our word dynamite. We think we're going to explode in the Holy Spirit, but it's not that. The word dunamis means giving you the ability to do. To do what? Whatever God wants you to do, to be a witness for him in any part of the world. Mike?
Yeah, dunamis is where we get the word dynamo from, like a generator in your car. Not dynamo, dynamite, bang, it's all over, but no, a continually generating force within our life. Because we need that. That's one of the things the Holy Spirit does. First of all, to give us boldness and give us a love for the lost. Because by nature, we don't have that. Well, I'm going to heaven, too bad about you. Almost sound like a Calvinist there for a second. No, that's not the way it works. It's that we have a love for the lost. Now, we have illustrations in the Bible who were evangelists that did not have a love for the lost. Oh, yes. Jonah was one of those. He was an evangelist, but he didn't have a love for the lost. Not at all. So understanding that's why it's important that we have that love that God gives us to a lost and dying world, and then gives us miracle power to reach this lost world for Christ. Hope that helps.
Yeah, thank you very much.
God bless you. And David, I would talk to the senior pastor and say, I can't sign this. God's alive and well on the planet Earth. Show him Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if he says, well, here's the verse that says, that which is perfect has come, that which is in part will be done away with. That is speaking of Jesus Christ, not the Bible. Very important to understand. There's illustrations in the Bible aren't God's perfect will, like David and Bathsheba. That which is perfect has come is not speaking of the Bible. It is speaking of Jesus Christ. And so then they say, well, that which is in part will be done away with, speaking of the gifts of the Spirit. That is a gross misinterpretation of Scripture. Because again, Hebrews 13:8, the miracles did not start with the apostles. They didn't end with the apostles either. God's still doing miracles today. David, stay on the line. Send you out some books and DVDs. Hope that helps.
Thank you so much.
God bless you. Thanks so much for the call. We're here for you if you need us. Let's go to Frank, Palm Springs. Hi, and welcome.
Hi, Pastor. Thank you. Now, listening to Daryl, I have two questions, but my primary is in Revelations 28, the four creatures had eyes all around and within. I believe it's in Ezekiel. He saw wheels with near the creatures with eyes all around. Do we know what those eyes are?
I think they're eyes. Your thoughts, Daryl?
Yeah, well, their eyes is speaking of that they are able to see. They're not omniscient. Only God is omniscient, all-knowing, and God is omnipresent in all places, all times. But these eyes are able to see and to comprehend, and they will do the will of God within mankind. I would say this is in other words, it's a visual that you're receiving from the scriptures that shows that, you know, the vision of these creatures, they are able to see all things as God directs them. Does that help you out?
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, okay.
Also, when Pastor Daryl was talking about the gifts of the Spirit, there's nine. There's also nine fruits of the Spirit. Is there any connection there?
No, those are two separate aspects. The fruit is dealing with our character, and the gifts of the Spirit are dealing with actions that we perform for the benefit of others, the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, the gift of faith, gifts of healings, gift of miracles, tongues, interpretation of tongues, and so forth. So those are actions that are taking place. And then Paul gives some descriptions of those within 1 Corinthians 14, especially tongues and interpretation. And then also a little bit on prophecy, as well as the rest of the gifts are you can read about in the through the book of Acts, because they find themselves manifested in the book of Acts, and you're able to see those gifts operate. So one is action, the other is the fruit, is the character of Christ within us, or the fruit of the Holy Spirit, which is the character of Christ. Mike?
Frank, hope that helps.
Yeah, just when I see numbers like that in the 12, just wonder if there's anything behind them.
I would say no. I think we have to be cautious not to also kind of do these connections that are not in context.
Yeah, numerology.
So, yeah, so just be careful and just keep the context, the text, okay? We're talking about the fruit of the Spirit. You're talking about the gifts of the Spirit, two different aspects of how God is developing his fruit in us, which is character, and then the operation of the gifts, which is actions that are taking place for the benefit of whether it be of the body of Christ or in the world. You know, sometimes people think that these gifts only operate where we're gathered together as a church. No, these gifts are operational wherever we go in the world. If God wants to give you a word of wisdom or knowledge in the workplace, he'll do it. If God wants to use you to pray for somebody in the street, God will do it. And you're going to have a gift of miracles or a gift of faith, some like gift of healings like that, God will do it. And it's just I think one thing is for all of us is to be sensitive to the leading and the guiding of the Holy Spirit in people's lives, and then responding to how God leads us and guides us for his testimony and his love. Mike?
Amen. I hope that helps.
Yeah, thank you very much.
God bless you, Frank. If you need us, we're here for you. And so with that, we'll go to Don in Bakersfield, California. Hi, welcome.
Yeah, hi. I have a question. I just actually want your take on Exodus 21. Verse 20 and 21, where it talks about, you know, man beating his servant, and if he dies, he will be punished. But if he doesn't die and remains alive for a couple of days, he shall not be punished, for he is his property. I just kind of, you know, I'd struggle a little bit with that.
Yeah, I know. It is. And when we realize what a blessing it is to be under grace rather than under the law, you know, and in oftentimes, when different countries would take over another country, the citizens then who were withstanding them would become their slaves. This was a problem. In fact, even in the United States, you know, everybody blames, you know, you have these different groups that are always out trying to blame America for slavery. It is England who was the slave traders. It is England who brought the slaves from Africa to the United States. Yeah, it was a terrible thing for America to buy them, but it was England who was the slave trader of the world. And I think that's really important. That is also missing out of our history books that our children are taught from, that it wasn't America going and getting the slaves. It was England delivering them to us. Talk about slavery real quick. We're almost out of time.
Well, you know, the tragedy of slavery, you know, it's not only with England, but it was also with Islam. They were known as great slave traders also, and they would even there was times when they would take the European white women and use them and trade them amongst the Islamic countries. So, you know, this slavery has been going on for a long, long time from the beginning of mankind just about. And it's not what God wants. God doesn't want us to be enslaved, but he knows the nature of man. And as man does these certain things, there were certain laws put in to protect, whether it be the slave or be the how the owner is to behave themselves or even how the owner is to be punished. Doesn't mean that God is for it. As we look to the character of Christ, he says, I want you to love your neighbor as yourself. He also says, I want you to love one another as I have loved you. The highest calling is the love of Christ within us for one another. That would be there for one another, bless one another, serve one another, encourage one another, honor one another as we are born again believers. Mike?
Yeah, and something we have to remember too, slavery in Israel was limited for 6 years. On the seventh year, the slave would go free. Now, there had to be some kind of rules to maintain that slave. Now, in other words, they didn't believe in chapter 11, chapter 13 of the IRS code. You got yourself into debt. You got yourself in so debt. You would go down to the marketplace and you would put yourself on an auction block and you would auction your services for the next 6 years. That's how you got out of debt in those days. It wasn't a magic wand that the government makes up. A lot of people were burned by that person's stuff. Well, if they were a slave, and they begin to beat other people or mistreat their wife, this is where the punishment would come in And that's why we read it the way we read it. So hope that sheds a little light on it for you, Don. We're out of time. Again, hope to see everybody at the Kona Coast Fellowship there in Kona, Hawaii. Thanks, Daryl, for being on.
Thank you.
God bless you. We'll be back tomorrow.
God bless. Or to receive a copy of today's program, please call 1-800-357-4226 or write us to Every Man and Answer, P.O. Box 391, Twin Falls, Idaho, 83303. That toll-free number is 1-800-357-4226. Subscribe to the free podcast on iTunes by searching for To Every Man an Answer in the iTunes store or visit us online at csnradio.com/TEMA. To Every Man an Answer is a production of CSN International, the Christian Satellite Network. The opinions expressed by our guests may or may not be those of CSN International or of this station.